Wake Up Call continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, the dumb. Loaded football weekend. But we got some good and we got some bad and we got some dumb to dive into. All right, what is the good of the day?
The good of the day. Tony, do you remember a few weeks ago we were talking about how it's a kicker's world?
It is a kicker's world,
You know, they were, we were just like, what game was it where they were just kicking field goals all games?
It was like a bunch of them,
Bills and somebody, right? All they did was just kick field goals all day long. And you and I were making jokes and making fun of the fact that kickers might be the next one up to demand high contracts.
Yeah. If you're going to use me, you might as well pay me. Yeah, exactly.
Well, a little-known fourth-string running back named Dare Ogunbowale just set that idea back a few years.
Oh, okay.
He is the backup, like I said, fourth-string running back for the Texans, Houston Texans. And on Sunday, Kaimi Fairburn, who is a normal kicker, went down with a quad injury sometime in the first half. Instead of calling on the punter, they called on Dare Ogunbowale to finish up duties. He handled all the kickoffs in the second half. D'Amico Ryans went for two most of the time after scoring a touchdown, all except this once right here.
Ogunbowale, 7-year NFL veteran, normally a running back. The field goal attempt is good. Houston leads. Smiles for everybody inside the stadium.
So there you have it. Ogunbowale put the Texans up, I think it was 33-30 at that point.
Now, that is, that sounded like Ian Eagle on the call. So, Ian Eagle and CBS, how much prep information did they get about that possible scenario?
Maybe that moment, what, you got a whole third quarter and part of a fourth?
Like, when they met with D'Amico Ryans, they go, hey, just in case Fairburn goes out, what do you guys do? Do you guys go with the punter? Or do you have, like, a fourth pick draft guy? I mean, fourth guy on the depth chart running back that can kick? Like, how much did Ian Eagle know about the background of this guy as a kicker? Maybe he did it in school. I have no idea. What made him the kicker? Do we know?
No.
Is there a background story that we got at the end of the game?
Well, I got one for you. I mean, he was a walk-on at the University of Wisconsin as a defensive back, switched to running back. But in high school, I believe he went to like Marquette High School. He did play football, soccer, basketball, and track at the high school.
Okay, so...
So he does have a soccer player background.
But that doesn't mean you can kick a football.
No, it does not. I don't know if he's ever practiced on the side.
I'm sure if I went through a lot of people, someone would go, I played soccer too. I mean, I did a little soccer on the side too, whatever. But, like, I'm curious. Is like, somehow, some way, this got to D'Amico Ryans that this kid could kick. Like, you're not going to have every player on the team try to kick field goals just to see who your emergency kicker would be.
Yeah. Well,
he must have said, listen, I've done this. I'd like to show you I could do it. If you ever need a guy to kick, I know it's a rare possibility, but I actually can put it through the uprights. And they worked him out, and he could kick some field goals.
Ogunbowale did say he last kicked a field goal in a game in high school.
Okay,
and then he also said, "I was always kind of the unwritten emergency kicker, but nothing ever came up that I needed to be out there kicking. So he's never practiced. He hasn't practiced.
Right."
So the last time he probably really kicked a ball outside of just fooling around.
But again, I'm not trying to be Sherlock Holmes here. There's no way D'Amico Ryans randomly grabbed this guy and sent him out to kick a field goal without any knowledge of this. Somehow he knew that this guy could do it, and he did it. He must have done it for him in practice.
Yeah.
There's no way he went, anybody want to go out there? And the guy raised his hand, and he just went, go ahead. Like, I got a thing at somewhere, like, maybe at a meeting or something, or, hey, coach, can I see you for 2 seconds? I just want to let you know I can kick.
Maybe because he's a four-string running back still trying to make the team. And
he's
just maybe he went to that and said,
roster.
Hey, listen, just in case you ever need me.
Yeah. And then they said, all right, let's go pop some through the uprights and see. And they did. Because that's too big of a moment.
Especially that one where it's 30-30.
Right?
Was that 30-30
exactly.
In the fourth quarter? And
you can't just go, I don't even know what this might be. Speaking of which, I got to tell you a funny thing. They did one of those field goal things at the North Alabama game on Saturday.
I was out with
my daughter. And they sent a kid out there, and his buddies were all cheering him, and the cheerleaders were all cheering for him and whatnot. And he went to kick that thing. That thing didn't even get off the ground.
Well, real quick, remember on Friday I brought up the Texas State
kick? Yeah, did they give that away?
They did give it away. Here's the deal, though. So the original spot was 35 yards. Basically,
right. You
know, you're kicking a field goal. The first three guys that they picked at random couldn't even get it off the ground.
Yeah.
So then they said, hey, we are determined to get this going. And, you know, said, hey, you got an unlimited amount of people after the game. You want to line up and try to get free tuition, go ahead. What they didn't say was that they were moving it. If it was so embarrassing, they were going to move it up. So it went
that's unfair.
So it went from 35 yards to 23 yards. The first guy up nailed it.
That's unfair. That's
so
unfair.
Stay tuned. We may have controversy in Texas State.
You were better off. You're better off saying, no, we're done. We're done. We're not going to be here all night. No one's getting the award. It was unfair for people to try to kick a 35er and then they moved it up to a 23er.
Right.
I agree. That's too big of a prize to have people in the back of the line benefit from that. But everyone laughed, and I said, you know, guys, this is harder than you think.
It is.
It is not like that. But yeah, good for him. But you know what? Good for him to be smart enough to have made it clear to somebody in the Houston organization that he could do this.
Do you think he was like Randy Quaid? I can kick.
I can, yeah, right? Raise his hand.
I've kicked a field goal.
Yeah. Because who thinks about where your emergency kicker is going to be?
And why isn't it the punter?
It's usually your
punter. Sorry. Yeah, why?
If it's not your punter, you're screwed. Right?
Yeah. I mean, Ogunbowale. I feel bad. I'm probably not going to have to learn his name. But Ogunbowale, I forgot what I was going to say because I was so concentrating on the guy's name.
All right, well, I'll say it. So here's kickoffs are one thing. You can just get a guy to just go, hey, boot the hell out of it. If we're down a kicker and the punter can't do it, then fine. But then we're going for two on everything, and we're not going for field goals.
Yeah, and that's what they did.
We're entirely taking that out of the game. So we're going for it on fourth down instead of kicking field goals because we're down a kicker. But then they went with this guy, and the guy said, you know what? I think I've done this before. I could do it. And they went, yeah, we trust you in a late in the game in a situation. Go out there and do it, my man.
Yeah.
Go out there and get it.
No, I remember what I was going to say. He's the first position player to kick a field goal since Wes Welker.
Oh, I remember that. I remember Wes Welker kicking.
So 2004. So, yeah. I mean, yeah, obviously, you know, you and I are making the point. It's not a common thing.
No. You don't. Yeah. So good for him. Good for him for that. All right. What is the bad? And we'll probably have to carry it over.
The bad that I actually have two. So we can do one real quick. And then if we want, we can bring up the next one in the next segment.
Right.
But the first one is the San Jose Sharks just might be the worst team in NHL history right now.
Is this the 10-0 score or something like that? 10-0 score that they gave up the other night?
It's bigger than that, Tony. It's back-to-back games. So Thursday, they allowed the Canucks to win 10-1, and then they followed that up on Saturday, losing to the Penguins 10-2.
How is that happening?
Right.
Like, that is not supposed to happen. Like, you are supposed to have two quality goaltenders. If one pukes on himself, that's fine. But the second guy is not supposed to puke on himself. Was it the same goalie? And if it is the same goalie, he needs to be an accountant.
Exactly. I mean, maybe pull that accountant, right? Remember the third emergency goalie that just comes to the games?
But you would call up your guy from the minor leagues if you needed a goalie after the first 10-1 game.
I mean, they've lost 11 straight.
Oh, they are terrible.
And they're right now on the season, it's 11 games they've played so far. So they've lost 11 straight. They are 0-10-1.
All right, so the goaltenders.
And is an overtime loss. So,
they have a goaltender named Mackenzie Blackwood. I'm looking that up. And then they have another one named Kaapo Kanoinen. He's from Finland. Okay, so both of those guys were in the net in the 10-1 loss to the Canucks. So now I'm going to look up to see if those same clowns were in net for their 10-2 loss to Pittsburgh. So here we go. And the Penguins scored 5 goals in the second period. And now Blackwood was in net. But then they had another guy named Magnus Corona.
Oh, my God.
Corona. He's from Sweden, too. So we had 3 goaltenders in 2 games give up 20 goals in an NHL hockey game.
What's
NHL hockey season?
What's Dari Ogunbowale doing?
Yeah, right. He could probably be in net for the Sharks.
I mean, he'd probably be better.
He could probably be like, hey, I did a little goalie.
Yeah, I mean, he's from Wisconsin. I'm guaranteed he's ice skated.
Jeez. Man, that's like all-star hockey.
That's NHL 94 hockey.
Right, that's very much that's, so.
You have Jeremy Roenick on your team, and you're just scoring at will.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah,
video game numbers.
I mean, 10-1. I mean, a team just scoring 10 goals by itself is amazing to me.
They haven't won a game all season.
No, they haven't.
10-1.
They have an overtime loss. That's the one. But they're 0-11 to start the season.
And they're allowing, they're allowing nearly 5 goals per game, 4.91. They're only scoring 1. They're averaging 1.09 goals per game. That's awful.
Oh, boy.
Good, the bad, the dumb. Continuing next. It's Wake Up Call, Sports Map Radio. That's all.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, tonight, Monday Night Football, you got the Chargers and the Jets, but that, we're continuing with the good, the bad, and the dumb with the second bad of the day, which I hope is not tonight for your Chargers against the 3 straight winning Jets.
No, they're going to lose.
Yeah, well.
It's the Jets. This is the game that the Chargers do not play well in at all, ever. And I have no idea why.
We shall see tonight. What is the bad of the day?
The second bad of the day. Okay. Let me preface it this way. I like the idea.
Okay.
Okay, I really like the idea. Ryan Murphy is coming out with his first installment of a new American Story series.
Who's Ryan Murphy?
Ryan Murphy. He's the guy behind all the American stories, like American Horror Story. He made the American story about the O.J. Simpson trial.
Got it. Okay.
Remember the one that...
O.J. Made in America?
No, not the documentary.
Oh, no, the one with Cuba Gooding Jr.
Cuba Gooding Jr. Yeah, and John Travolta and everything. So he's coming out with a new one called American Sports Story.
Okay.
And so there's going to be a new anthology. We should get a couple of these. I mean, that O.J. one was American Crime Story, blah, blah, blah. So this is American Sports Story. The first installment that he's centering around, and this is where it's a little bad. I don't know if we should be celebrating it, but the first installment is centered around Aaron Hernandez.
He did one with O.J. Simpson, and it wasn't to pump up O.J. Simpson. Is it because it's an interesting story, and it's an interesting... I think you might be reading these as celebratory documentary things, but instead they may be just informative.
I mean, it's maybe going the informative route.
Yeah, most 30 for 30s are not, this guy is so awesome, let's just celebrate him for 2 hours.
Right, but this isn't a documentary.
But I know, but it's based on a real story.
Right.
So whether you act it out or you play it out, he's not making Aaron Hernandez a superhero that fights crime.
No.
He's telling the Aaron Hernandez story. Whether you act it out or you have it, it's a documentary in nature. You're taking a true story and putting it on the screen and telling the story. Whether you use actors or you use clips with voiceovers, you're kind of doing the same thing.
Right. Now, the actor that has been touted for this is Josh Andreas Rivera. He was I can't remember the lead character's name in Maria, Steven Spielberg's Maria.
Because I wonder if people are more or less – but I wonder if people more or less are like – hey, Aaron Hernandez, this is a bizarre story. How did the guy go from – I mean, he was a major part of the Florida Gators football team that won national championships. He was on the New England Patriots and won Super Bowls. How in the world did this guy murder people, like murder a guy? How did this happen? Like where did it – how did no one see this? How did no one notice this? How did he fall into this life where his answer to a situation was to take a guy and execute him? So I'm curious about that. Like I saw the Aaron Hernandez Netflix documentary. I thought it was kind of fascinating. I was upset that Swamp Kings didn't mention Aaron Hernandez at all.
True.
So unless again his body of work is, but I'll be honest with you, celebrating sports stuff is nonsense. Like you got to have, in order to do those things, there's got to be a side story, a controversial story.
And I think, it's centered on his life, on Aaron Hernandez.
Have you ever watched those Sports Illustrated videos of a championship season?
Oh, yeah.
They're dumb.
Yeah.
They're not for us. They're for the fan. Mm-hmm. So they can watch all the awesome things that happened over and over again. And all the people talking about, and then we lost game 2. And boy, we had to rally around each other. Oh, good. Yay. And then they won game 3. most of the 30 for 30s you want is because somebody goes, and then we screwed up. Like, and then you go, oh, okay, that's what I want. So maybe, just maybe, that this is.
And that's what I mean. Maybe it may be good. I don't know.
I think it'll be good. I think those stories are important. I think those, like, how in the world, again, did we get caught up in Aaron Hernandez that we totally missed out on a psychopathic nature that made him a murderer? And then what happened to him in prison? Like, why did he kill himself?
Yeah.
You know, like stuff like that. So.
Well, and they also have another actor, Patrick Schwarzenegger.
Oh, really?
You've heard of him.
I've heard of his dad, or his grandfather, whoever it is.
I think it's his dad. Okay. But he has been touted to star as Tim Tebow.
Oh, okay. So this is getting deep.
I think they're going through the entire part, you know, the Florida. Maybe you start to see some of the demons rise in Florida, then to the Patriots, and
I'd like to be
so
Tim
on and
Tebow.
So forth.
The guy playing you in a movie is the son of one of the most impressive bodybuilders in the history of the Mr. Universe contest. I might be over exaggerating that.
He's the most famous out of any, because I couldn't name another.
I couldn't name anybody else.
Mr. Universe bodybuilder.
Exactly. That's pretty good. It's not Brad Pitt playing me as Billy Bean.
No.
But, I mean, it's you know, still pretty decent. It's pretty awesome. If Brad Pitt plays you in a movie, even if he has to wear some makeup, that's pretty impressive. But, yeah, that's awesome for Tebow.
So no timeline on when it's going to be released yet, because they've still got to wait for the SAG
I thought the OJ thing was good.
I did too. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But
the SAG after, that's not done yet?
No, the writer strike is.
Okay, so what's the other part?
The SAG-AFTRA is the actors.
Actors are on strike?
Yeah.
So wait a minute, this was a dual strike?
There was two strikes going on at once.
I did not know that, because I felt like the actors were like, hey, writers have got to get paid. I'm here to support the writers. The writers are the bread and butter of what. They never once went, yeah, I'm online for me too. I'm doing it for me as well.
No, they're in there.
So how come they got one and not the other?
Well, I guess they were able to figure out with writers with
AI. Is that confusing?
AI, with AI, but everything's still centered around.
No. How did the writers get a deal and the actors didn't get a deal?
Good question.
Like, how did they go, well, we'll work on the actors later, but the writers who will write for no one.
We'll get there eventually.
Right? At least, like, the actors you think you would lock in first, you're like, well, we could get AI to write. But if you bring in the writers and they go back to work and they go, oh, great, I got two movies in the can. Yeah, you're going to have to hold on to those because we have no one that can play them.
I just had to look it up real quick. We're in 114 days of the strike going on that no one really knew was going on.
Nobody seems to care about.
But one of the many sticking points still remain around the use of AI, especially when it comes to the likeness and the replacement of human extras with digital ones.
Okay.
Why is that a thing?
I don't know. All right, what is the dumb of the day?
The dumb of the day. We got to go back to Frankfurt for this one.
Oh, okay. What happened in Frankfurt? Because it seemed like everything was awesome.
No, everything was great, but a couple got engaged on the sideline. I think it was just before the game or just after the game, right? They got engaged on the sideline. She said yes. But the guy was so excited, he immediately hugged the Chiefs mascot first before hugging his new fiance.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that's not going to be lived down, is it?
That's not going to be good, unless that's a tradition in Germany to hug mascots after you propose. Could that be a case? Yeah. Like maybe maybe they do it differently.
Maybe.
You need a friend in like a raccoon outfit or something when you propose to your fiance.
Is that what the Chiefs mascot is?
I kind of think it is. I don't know exactly what it is. Is it a wolf?
No, because remember the wolf.
Casey Wolf?
Wasn't the wolf guy? Didn't he get in trouble?
The guy in the thing might got in trouble, but don't they keep it? It looks like the same mascot.
But that was a fan. But that was a fan who dressed up. This is a mascot.
It's Casey Wolf.
Casey, so he's a wolf.
That's what I'm thinking. Yeah.
Because, I mean, he's a weird looking wolf. I mean, you know,
were you thinking that the wolf got in trouble and they just abandoned that mascot and went with something else?
No. The guy who got in trouble, that wasn't the official mascot. He was just a fan.
I don't even know what you're talking about.
There was a fan who always came to the games dressed up as a wolf.
Okay, well, that you're right.
And he got in trouble with the law.
Okay, that's fine.
Kansas City has a mascot that has a extremely large belly. It shapes
and
jiggles.
I think that's a wolf.
You think that's a wolf too? Okay.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, I can understand what greedy is compared quicker than I can the KC mascot.
That's true, because he does look like a, he does look raccoonish.
Yeah. When you said raccoon, I was like, okay, that makes sense.
Well, yeah, maybe they do it differently.
Maybe it's a raccoon and a wolf that got together.
Was she mad? Was she visibly upset at this action?
You know what? When you watch the video, it's quick, right? It's a quick video, and I watched it. She looks taken aback, but it's okay. It's like, oh, yeah, you just got a ring in your hand, and, you know, the hands over the mouth type of thing. But he immediately turns and hugs the mascot, and then he's like, it looked like a light bulb went off in his head. Like, oh, I should hug her
real quick. Oh, yeah, she got to hug her.
But she did look like there was that half a second like, well, what are you doing?
Good point. Be careful. This is destined to fail now.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Well. See, good job, people in Germany, for proposing at the sideline of a football game. Like I was saying earlier, they loved the Chiefs.
You know what?
You
knew it immediately during that national anthem, didn't you?
When they chanted home of the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Holy mackerel.
It could have been a home. I mean, it was their home game.
That was a home game for the Chiefs. They booed the Dolphins when they came out on the field. They booed them.
But you know what? I got to say this. The first thing that went through my mind when I was watching that stadium looked good.
It did look good.
That was an
old stadium. They made it look sharp.
That was nice. And it was just, my only complaint, I guess, with the NFL Network, I wanted more outside stadium shots.
Yeah.
Because I was looking around and, like, Frankfurt looks like a cool, cool town.
Yeah, it was. I mean, listen, they've got nothing but reviews from every reporter that's been out there this week, like last week. Everybody said it was one of the killer assignments, that it was absolutely amazing. Frankfurt did the NFL well. And again, it makes them international crazy. They leave there going, oh my God, we can't. Well, some of them had to stay for the Patriots and the Colts game. But those who were like, oh my God, we got to do this again. We got to do this more. Yeah, that's what happens.